Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I just have to kid with you now. Now I see where the children are. They're all playing in the nursery. I can see them all playing and running around in there. Would you read together with me the title of today's message? It's on the screen. Touching the Hem of Jesus' Robe. Let me read to you one more time this wonderful passage of Scripture. As Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had been waiting for him, and there came a man named Jairus. And he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to beg him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a bleeding disorder for 12 years and could not be healed by anybody came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his robe. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, because I know that power has gone from me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him, declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that you've got on the handout that was given to you at the door as we consider our theme, touching the hem of Jesus' robe. Well, who do you say that Jesus is? This was the question on the tips of the tongues of his disciples and the people who saw him in action. In verse 22 of Luke chapter 8, Jesus gets into a boat, calms the weather, calms the sea, calms the wind, and the disciples ask, "Who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" In verse 27 of chapter 8, Jesus encounters a demon-possessed man, a satanic superman, too strong to be chained. But Jesus cast the demons out of that man into a herd of kamikaze pigs who dashed themselves over a cliff. And the people say, "Who is this man that even the demons obey him?" And now in verse 40 of today's text, we read that the crowds were eagerly waiting for Jesus. Sure they were. Here is a man who controls nature, who controls demons, who's healed the sick, and the people wonder, "Who is this guy that even these powers of the world obey him?" In today's text from Luke 8, we're told that the daughter of a man named Jairus is dying. She's a girl of age 12, the daughter of a well-respected synagogue official. We could call Jairus the head usher or the worship coordinator. He told people when to come in, when to come out, when to stand up, when to sit down, when to bring the offerings. He was a man of power and authority. But on this day, Jairus, called the ruler of the synagogue, is on his hands and his knees in front of Jesus, begging him to come and take care of his daughter. And as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, a woman whom the text says had been bleeding for 12 years was also in that crowd. The text doesn't tell us what kind of bleeding disorder she had, but it probably had to do with what women go through on a monthly basis. But this woman had non-stop bleeding, the text says, for 12 years, the text says. According to Leviticus 15, this condition made her ceremonial, spiritually unclean. This means she had not been to worship in the temple for 624 weeks. This means she had not felt the touch of her husband for well over a decade. She could not even go shopping with her girlfriends because no one wanted anything to do with a woman who was ceremonially unclean. In the Gospel of Mark, we're told that she spent all the money she had seeing doctors, but she could not get well. Imagine her struggles with hygiene. Just imagine her embarrassment. Imagine her having to go to the washroom 20 times a day. She was a nobody. The crowds thought so. The disciples thought so. She likely even thought it to be true. And so in the midst of all the crowds pressing around Jesus, she did the only thing she could do. She touched the hem of Jesus' robe. The edge, the border, where it's sewn together. And hear what Jesus says again in verse 46. He said to his disciples, "Somebody touched me." "But Lord," Peter said, "everybody in this crowd is touching you." "No, Simon Peter, somebody touched me." Jesus called a nobody a somebody. You see, Jesus has a way of stopping for nobodies. It's the story of his entire earthly ministry. Stopping for and loving those people whom everybody else considered a nobody. Lepers, Gentiles, tax collectors, prostitutes, those who are unclean. You remember, Jesus was on the way to the house of a very important and well-respected man, Jairus, because Jairus' daughter was dying. Jesus, the great physician, was on his way to take care of terminal disease, but instead he stopped to heal a nagging illness. Today we'd call that malpractice. But Jesus stopped for the nobody. He stopped for this nameless woman. The text tells us that this lady had kind of a superstitious sort of faith. In that day, many people thought that healing just came by touching something sacred. In Mark chapter 3, we find this when the crowds were touching Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, people wanted to come into contact with the handkerchief and the aprons of the disciples, fearing if they could just touch them, they'd be clean. This was a kind of superstitious faith that foreshadowed the medieval era. In the Middle Ages, when religious pilgrims traveled hundreds of miles to touch holy icons and relics. But we even see it today in some amazingly peculiar religious programming when the preacher says, "Send us $20 and we'll send you a prayer handkerchief that guarantees your healing." Nevertheless, the woman in our text in Luke chapter 8 probably whispered to herself, "I see Jesus. At last, here is one who can help me. I'm unclean. I'm unworthy. I'm a nobody. But if I could just touch the hem of his robe, I could be healed." And suddenly, a nobody reaches out of nowhere and touches the hem of the garment of God. 12 long years of bleeding stopped in a heartbeat. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now, here's what I was alluding to in the children's message. This is the only place in the entire New Testament where Jesus calls a woman daughter. And she goes in an instant from being a nobody to a somebody, to being a daughter, a child of God. Jesus, Almighty God in human flesh, who curls constellations with his biceps, who swirls galaxies with his triceps, who throws Saturn's rings like frisbees. Almighty God in human flesh stops for this nameless woman. He stoops down to her level, heals her disease, and adopts her into her heavenly home by calling her my daughter. My friends, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know what it's like to bleed with this woman. You know what it's like to feel like there's no hope. What it's like to feel like a nobody. You know when your dreams did not come true. You know when love for you seems to be scarce and your faith is weak. You know when tears have flowed and life has hit you hard. Dear people, whatever your bleeding disorder, whatever your problem, God has a word of encouragement this morning. That His grace for us is always sufficient for our needs. He told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 these words, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." My dear friends, I can stand before you this morning and personally testify to this fact. God can use suffering to draw us into His holy presence. He can work in our difficulties to strengthen us and our faith. It's often in the darkness, in the valley, in the place where we seem to see nothing but gloom, that our Lord Jesus Christ comes and shines His light into our heart the brightest. Speaking of the lady with bleeding disorders, do you know that our Lord Jesus Himself had a bleeding disorder? Oh, yes, He did. It was a gory, bloody reality when God the Father sent His Son to die upon the cross and shed His blood for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. Jesus was beaten and bloodied by sinful men, mocked and ridiculed, hit in the face, kicked to the ground, nailed to the cross to pay for our sins as His precious blood dripped to the ground, His lifeless body put into a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. On the third day, the Father said to His Son, "Arise, my love." On the third day, the Father said to Jesus what Jesus will soon say to Jairus' daughter, "Dear one, it's time to rise from death." Jesus Christ was raised to life, and death was put to rest. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ was raised to life, and death was put to rest. And that is why you and I can sing, as we will in 2 weeks, "I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort that sweet sentence gives." Now, I know what the old Russian communist Karl Marx said, that Christianity is just a crutch for the weak. But let me tell you here today that Jesus Christ is more than a crutch. He is our very life. Without Him, we would die forever. Without Him, we would perish eternally. Without Him, we would just be grass for the mower. But He lives. And because He lives, we too shall live victorious in the struggles of this life. Victorious over death forever. So as we wrap this sermon up, we come back to the opening question. Who do you say that Jesus is? He's a prophet, but much more than a prophet. He is the living Word of God. He is a priest, but more than a priest. He's the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. He is a king, but more than a king. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, at whose name one day every knee shall bow. He is the Lord over nature, the Lord over the winds and the seas, the Lord over demons, the Lord over sickness, the Lord over death. My dear friends, be encouraged this morning. Jesus, the Lord of all, exchanged His sinlessness for your sin. He takes your grime and gives you grace. He takes your filth and gives you faith. He gave the woman with the bleeding disorder both healing and a brand new life. He made a somebody out of a nobody. And today, like this woman of old, we not only hold on to the hem of Jesus' robe, we are held. We are held in his strong arms forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.